Poštovane kolege, poštovani gosti, dobar dan i dobrodošli u predsalu Vlade Republike Srbije. Preskonferencija Ministarstva financija, a tema je završetak razgovora sa misijom Međunarodnog monetarnog fonda povodom pete revizije trogodišnjeg finansijskog aranžmana. O tome će govoriti gospodin Vladimir Vuković, pomoćnik ministra za međunarodne odnose. Zatim šef misije MMF-a za Srbiju i Crnu Goru, gospođa Pirita Sorsa i stalni predstavnik MMF-a u Srbiji i Crnoj Gori, gospodin Harald Hiršofer. Na samom početku reč gospodinu Vukoviću, izvolite.
Dobar dan još jednom. Ja ću vas obavestiti da su vođeni pregovori sa misijom MMF-a u sklopu statuta člana 4 statuta MMF-a. Takođe, vođeni su i razgovori o nastavku aranžmana, znači peta revizija tekućeg aranžmana trogodišnjeg sa MMF-om o finansijskoj podršci. I daću reč gospođi Piriti Sorsi da vam da neke detalje oko ovog aranžmana.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. We just wanted to have this occasion here with the press to offer an opportunity for you to ask us questions about our role in general in Serbia and our program and what our mission had been doing here for the past 2 weeks. And just briefly, I can summarize that a team of about 7-8 people were here for 2 weeks. One of our tasks was to write an annual report to our board on the state of Serbian economy, which is something we do with all our member countries once a year. And at the same time, we conducted a review of the program or the arrangement that Serbia and Montenegro have with the IMF and in terms of trying to deal with the economic policies in Serbia. And the focus of those discussions was a lot on how to bring down the increasing inflation and how to deal with the persistently high current account deficit.
Dobro jutro svima. Ovo je prilika kada smo želeli da damo mogućnost predstavnicima medija da se upoznaju i postave pitanja u vezi sa ulogom MMF-a u Srbiji i Crnoj Gori i sa programom koji MMF zajedno sa vladom Srbije sprovodi u Crnoj Gori i o tome šta je misija radila u Srbiji i Crnoj Gori u protekle 2 nedelje. Dakle, samo ukratko da vam kažem da je u Srbiji i Crnoj Gori boravio jedan tim od 7 do 8 ljudi u periodu od 2 nedelje i da je pripremao godišnji izveštaj o stanju u privredi Srbije i Crne Gore u proteklih godina. To su konsultacije u okviru člana 4 i to su redovni godišnji izveštaji koje MMF pravi za sve zemlje članice svake godine. A u okviru ove misije takođe je sprovedeno i peto razmatranje ostvarivanja ekonomskog programa koji MMF sprovodi zajedno sa vladom Srbije. I fokus, odnosno težište razgovora je bilo na ekonomskoj politici Srbije koja bi pomogla da se smanji rastuća inflacija i reši pitanje deficita računa tekućih transakcija.
I could say that in the key areas of policies and problems that we have discussed is the still large role of the state in the economy. And this is partly the reason why the external current account deficit is so large because the private sector is very small. It's only about 45% of the total economy, which means that the exports produced are still a very small share of total production, while imports are very large. In terms of exports, it's only 16% of GDP, while imports are 43%. So obviously then it's hard to pay for these imports with these exports, and that creates this large imbalance in the external accounts, which we see is being increasingly financed by debt. And this is partly we are concerned about the persistently high external imbalance. So then obviously our policy discussions focused on how to reduce this imbalance over time. And a core issue in this is how to speed up the privatization and restructuring of both state-owned and socially owned enterprises, because a large part of the resources in the economy is still maintained in these enterprises, some of which have trouble selling their products or increasing exports to create sustainable jobs. So a lot of restructuring would be needed, but this takes time. And in the meantime, one has to focus more on what we'd call demand management policies, which means fiscal, monetary, and incomes policies in terms of trying to contain demand for imports so that the external balance remains sustainable. So this is in a nutshell the areas that we've been discussing in trying to solve the problems of the external imbalance and inflation.
Ključne oblasti na koje smo se koncentrisali u razmatranju ekonomske politike I problema sa kojima se ekonomska politika suočava, svode se na veliku ulogu države I zapravo okreću se oko te velike uloge države u privredi, što dovodi do ovog visokog deficita računa tekućih transakcija. Privatni sektor u Srbiji je I dalje mali. On čini samo 45% ukupno privrede u Srbiji I to dovodi do toga da je izvoz nizak, a uvoz visok. Izvoz je samo 16% bruto društvenog proizvoda Srbije I Crne Gore, dok izvoz čini 43%. Dakle, sa takvim izvozom je jako teško platiti uvoz, pokriti znači troškove uvoza I to dovodi do ovo velike neravnoteže računa tekućih transakcija, što izaziva zabrinutost, a takođe zabrinutost izaziva I činjenica da se sve veći deo ove spoljne neravnoteže, platno-bilansne neravnoteže, finansira kroz zaduživanje. Dakle, za to vreme, dakle, za rešavanje ovog problema biće potrebno vreme, a u međuvremenu treba se koncentrisati na ubrzavanje privatizacije I prestrukturiranja društvenih I državnih preduzeća, jer znamo da mnoga od njih se suočavaju sa velikim problemima u svom poslovanju I nemaju I konkurentnu robu koja se može izvoziti, imaju velike probleme da prodaju svoje proizvode I da zadrže svoje zaposlene, odnosno da obezbede održive poslove. Dakle, potrebno je mnogo prestrukturiranja I to će sve zahtevati jako mnogo vremena. A u međuvremenu treba se koncentrisati na ono što mi zovemo kontrolisanje tražnje I politike za kontrolisanje tražnje. Težište u toj oblasti biće na fiskalnoj, monetarnoj I politici dohodaka kako bi se rešilo pitanje ove spoljne platno-bilansne neravnoteže I postigao održivi rast.
Okay, so we have a short press release that we gave up in writing and I'd be ready to answer any questions you have.
Mi imamo jedno kratko saopštenje za štampu koje ćemo podeliti I onda sam spremna da odgovaram na vaše pitanje.
Hvala lepo. Dakle, sada možete postaviti pitanja. Izvolite. Da li imamo prvo pitanje za učesnike konferencije?
Biljana Stepanović, B92.
Biljana Stepanović, B92.
Bilo je ovde reči, pojedini ekonomisti su pominjali da uvoz zapravo nije ovoliki koliko je zvanično prikazan, zato što pojedini uvoznici navodno imaju fiktivan uvoz tako što vrše plaćanja u inostranstvu za uglavnom opremu I repromaterijal, jer su tu carine niske I na taj način samo iznose novac iz zemlje. Tako da ti ekonomisti tvrde da je zapravo uvoz manji nego što je zvanično prikazan, pa time I spoljnotrgovinski deficit. Da li vi ste nešto od toga primetili ili znate nešto o tome ili da li je bilo reči o tome? Hvala.
Of course, there are always some measurement problems with imports and exports, but the imbalance is so large that even if there's some marginal error in the measurement, the problem remains because imports are really three times higher than exports.
Naravno, uvek postoje problemi merenja kada su u pitanju I uvoz I izvoz I bilo koja situacija. Međutim, ova neravnoteža između uvoza I izvoza je toliko velika da čak I te greške u merenju mogu da se zanemare, jer je uvoz tri puta veći od izvoza.
Izvolite dalje. Da li ima još pitanja? Izvolite.
Thank you.
I think we have a very good collaboration with the government, and we share the broad outlines of the areas, you know, that need to be discussed to solve the problems. But, you know, of course, there are nuances and different emphasis maybe in different areas, but I think, you know, the broad diagnosis, you know, we share.
Mi imamo jako dobru saradnju sa vladom Srbije i u najširim crtama mi se slažemo. Naravno, uvek postoje nijanse, postoje različiti akcenti koji su stavljeni na različite oblasti, ali što se tiče neke opšte dijagnoze, tu se uglavnom slažemo.
Koleginice.
Marica Vuković, agencija Beta. Ovde postoji uverenje da MMF diktira cene određenih proizvoda kao što i usluga kao što je struja. Da li imate zamjerke trenutno na neke od cena koje su važne za ovaj standard stanovništva i ovaj koliko bi ove godine mogao da bude rast plata? Da li ste imali uvid u to da li je ograničenje koje je postavila vlada u izvesnom procentu od 7% u državnim institucijama dovoljno ili treba ovaj i to je previše?
First, answer the question on electricity price. Now, we don't get into the details of price calculations. Our general concern is that in an economy, prices would cover costs. But I would like to emphasize efficient cost. It's important to reduce waste, but in a market economy, for public utilities or when companies sell their products, you know, price would cover costs, because otherwise somebody else has to pay the difference. And then often it, in public utilities, means a subsidy from the state. Now, if the price is below cost, then also the rich benefit from this subsidy to everybody as well as the poor. So it would be our recommendation to give subsidies to those who are the poorest in society and have those pay the full price who can afford it. And in this sense, it would be important then to go back to the same question that prices should reflect cost, but you know, that's not for us to calculate, just the principle that we'd like to endorse.
Dakle, prvo ću odgovoriti na ovo pitanje koje se odnosi na cenu struje. Mi nismo zaista ulazili u detalje određivanja cene struje. Međutim, ono što je bitno je da cena pokrije troškove. Pritom želim da naglasim da se radi o efikasnim troškovima, ne o svim troškovima, nego efikasnim. Jer u jednoj tržišnoj privredi cene određenih proizvoda moraju pokrivati troškove njihove proizvodnje. Ako to nije slučaj, onda tu razliku neko mora da plati i kod državnih preduzeća najčešće je to država koja kroz subvencije plaća tu razliku kada je takođe kada je cena ispod troškova proizvodnje, onda te subvencije idu i bogatima, jednako kao i siromašnima, umesto da se subvencije usmere onim slojevima građanstva koji ne mogu da plate cenu, a da oni koji to mogu da priušte plaćaju punu cenu određenih proizvoda. Dakle, želim da naglasim da je princip na kome mi insistiramo da cena pokrije troškove, ali nismo ulazili u detalje.
Now, on the question of wages, for an economy to be competitive, it's very important the wage increases reflect productivity, because otherwise this contributes to inflation and makes it harder for the country to sell its products abroad, because competitiveness is affected. Now, wage levels in Serbia are already much higher than in many of the neighboring countries, so this affects interest of foreign investors and so on, but I think productivity and education levels here are also very high. But at the company level or in the public sector, it is important to keep wage increases in line with productivity. Now, to the specific question of the 7% wage ceiling, I'd like to emphasize that in the public utilities, it's a ceiling on the wage bill. Wage bill should go at 7%. But then companies are free to give higher increases within that if they lay off excess labor or redundancies, or if people leave, then there's more room to increase wages in these companies. And this is partly to be an incentive for them to restructure and become more efficient. Because also in the same way, then this could enable them to keep price increases in check and also to, in the end, give better quality of utility services to the people.
Da se vratim na vaše pitanje koje se odnosilo na plate. U jednoj konkurentnoj, jednoj privredi da bi ona bila konkurentna, rast plate mora da bude vezan za rast produktivnosti. Ako to nije slučaj, to dovodi do inflacije, do smanjenja konkurentnosti i teže prodajete svoje proizvode u inostranstvu. Što se tiče plata u Srbiji, jasno je i poznato je da su one više nego u zemljama u okruženju, što je na neki način je loš signal stranim investitorima, odnosno obeshrabruje strane investitore i bitno je da u preduzećima plate budu vezane za produktivnost i rast plata za porast produktivnosti. Što se tiče ove gornje granice od 7% za rast plata, želim da naglasim da se to odnosi na fond za zarade, znači na ukupan fond za zarade u javnim preduzećima koji može da poraste 7%. Dakle, a ukoliko u tim kompanijama dođe do smanjenja broja zaposlenih, to će napraviti određeni prostor za veći rast pojedinačnih plata i ta mera zamišljena kao stimulans za prestrukturiranje ovih preduzeća i povećanje efikasnosti njihovog poslovanja, a također to će omogućiti da se rast cena drži pod kontrolom i da se obezbedi bolji kvalitet komunalnih i drugih usluga koje ova preduzeća pružaju.
Izvolite.
Suggest change in the VAT in Montenegro? And third question, what would be the consequences if the IMF, if the Montenegrin government decides not to abide by the recommendations of the IMF?
We had very productive discussions with the Minister of Finance of Montenegro, and one of the key points which we made was that there should be no further reductions in taxes, and that tax reforms should be put on hold for a few, you know, for a prolonged time from now on, to give the economy time to adjust to the new tax structure.
Dakle, mi smo imali veoma produktivne razgovore sa ministrom finansija Crne Gore i ključne stvari koje smo istakli u tim razgovorima su bile da za sada ne treba i ne može da bude daljih smanjenja poreskih stopa, odnosno da poreska reforma treba na jedno duže vreme ili produženo vreme da bude zaustavljena i da se zadrži, znači, na ovom nivou, kako bi privreda imala vremena da se prilagodi ovim promenama.
I think the biggest challenge right now is to control fiscal expenditures and to accelerate and continue with the privatization structural reform of the Montenegrin economy. The results so far have been encouraging. Inflation is still low, and the fiscal deficit in 2004 was along the line as we have programmed. So there is a good performance under the program, but I think the main challenge is right now to contain expenditures in 2005 and try to achieve the fiscal deficit target which was outlined in the budget.
Najveći izazovi u ekonomskoj politici u Crnoj Gori za ovu godinu biće kontrola fiskalnih rashoda i ubrzanje privatizacije i strukturnih reformi u Crnoj Gori. Rezultati su do sada ohrabrujući, inflacija je zadržana na niskom nivou, a fiskalni deficit je bio u skladu sa deficitom koji je predviđen programom. Dakle, ostvareni su dobri rezultati. Glavni izazov, dakle, za 2005. godinu je obuzdavanje rashoda i održavanje nivoa fiskalnog deficita na dogovorenom nivou.
Kolega.
Da
third question was, what if the Montenegrin government decided not to abide by the recommendations, not to observe the recommendations of the IMF in the future?
You know, this is a hypothetical question right now, because we are still discussing, and I don't have any indications that there are any problems.
To je hipotetičko pitanje. Mi još uvek vodimo razgovore i ja nemam nikakve pokazatelje da tu postoje neki problem.
Kolega.
Milan Čulibrk, again. Before the New Year, there were announcements that there will be more sliding of the dinar exchange rate to boost exports. However, the Minister of Finance yesterday said that with the National Bank, it seems to me with the agreement of the IMF, it was agreed to have a tighter exchange rate policy. How do you view that? And does the IMF really agreed to a slower sliding down of the dinar rate than last year?
We have discussed the whole package of measures, how to improve competitiveness and exports, and how to deal with inflation and the external balance. So it really depends on many other policies.
Mi smo razgovarali o čitavom paketu koji se odnosi na unapređivanje konkurentnosti i izvoza i za rešavanje pitanja inflacije i platno-bilansne neravnoteže. Znači, tu postoji čitav niz mera ekonomske politike koji je razmatran.
Important elements are one is what we call incomes policy, which means that wages should not be increasing more than productivity. At the same time, you know, overall demand in the economy should be held at a level that one can afford the imports with the exports one has here. So there we discuss, you know, fiscal policy, monetary policy. And all this is, you know, part of the package in trying to deal with the competitiveness and the external balance.
Glavni elementi ovog paketa mera su politika dohodaka, odnosno nastojanje da se plate drže na nivou produktivnosti, da njihov rast bude vezan za rast produktivnosti. Drugo pitanje je pitanje obuzdavanja ukupne tražnje na nivou koji se može priuštiti, tako da uvoz bude pokriven izvozom. Za sve to je bitna fiskalna politika, monetarna politika i to je sve deo tog paketa koji je namenjen rešavanju pitanja inflacije i spoljnotrgovinskog deficita.
But maybe the most important, all what I mentioned in the beginning, is try to reduce the role of the state in the economy. And this would mean that one would need to privatize and restructure many more companies to create a supply response for competitive exports and growth and employment creation. But as this takes time, one can, even one starts now to accelerate things, it takes a while. And that's why in the short run, the more emphasis will be made on these other policies to contain demand.
Dakle, najvažnije, kao što sam rekla, je da se smanji uloga države i da se mnoga preduzeća privatizuju, prestrukturiraju, kako bismo imali ovaj odgovor ponude i kako bismo obezbedili rast konkurentnosti, privredni rast i otvaranje novih radnih mesta. Dakle, kako to sve traži vreme, čak i ako bi se sada ubrzalo počelo sa svim tim merama, ipak sada se mora akcenat staviti i naglasak na fiskalnu i monetarnu politiku kako bi se ova pitanja u kratkom roku odmah počela rešavati.
Da li ima još pitanja? Izvolite.
Just a clarification. Tighter exchange rate policy, sorry, in this year, although we know it's part of the package, but are you in favor of a tighter exchange rate policy?
We are still discussing the whole package, so I would only answer that.
Mi još uvek razgovaramo o ovom čitavom paketu, samo bih to odgovorila.
Koleginice.
Exceeded the planned level or expected level in this year. Have the MPs informed you that they have increased their wages and the administration is not delivering? It seems to me that you're a bit tolerant with respect to the restructuring. It's being announced, but it
it's not starting yet, so costs cannot be covered by means of restructuring because it's not beginning yet.
Okay, first on the inflation, I think getting to 10% by the end of the year will be a challenge, but it is not impossible. One thing that makes it more difficult is a lot of increasing what we call administrative prices, like the municipalities increase their prices a lot. There may be some other administrative price increases. But what this means also that the demand management has to be prudent, so that also incomes policy has to be prudent so that wages don't increase more than productivity. So it's all these measures that should help then the country to lower inflation and get to the target by the end of the year. And our job this week has been trying to find policies that help the government to achieve this.
Dakle, što se tiče inflacije, njen nivo je planiran na 10% za ovu godinu. Mi mislimo da će to biti izazov, ali da to nije nemoguće. Malo će otežavati situaciju to što je bilo više povećanja cena koje mi zovemo administrativnim cenama, odnosno lokalne vlasti, opštine su povećale cene svojih usluga i komunalnih usluga. Moguće je da će doći i do drugih povećanja cena. Međutim, bitno je u ovoj situaciji da upravljanje, odnosno kontrola tražnje, bude mudra i oprezna. Bitno je da se sprovodi jedna mudra politika dohodaka i da se plate zadrže na nivou produktivnosti, odnosno da ne rastu više nego što raste produktivnost. Tako će se pomoći smanjenju inflacije i ostvarivanju ovog cilja koji je predviđen za kraj godine kad je u pitanju stopa inflacije i mi upravo sada sa vladom radimo na razrađivanju paketa mera da bi se to ostvarilo.
Now, in terms of the structural reforms, I think there's a renewed momentum that started towards the end of the last year. For example, 456 socially owned enterprises were offered for sale, of which I think 336 were sold. So there is activity increasing in the privatization process.
Što se tiče vašeg drugog pitanja koje se odnosi na strukturne reforme, mislim da tu imamo jedan obnovljeni zamah i polet ovih reformi u drugoj polovini godine, odnosno kako se približavalo kraju 2004. godine. Naprimjer, 456 preduzeća je ponuđeno na prodaju, od toga je prodato 336 preduzeća, što mislim da govori o ovom obnovljenom zamahu i ubrzavanju privatizacije.
And the plan to increase and accelerate the pace of these privatizations this year has been made by the government, and we want to support it very much, and we hopefully that this can happen. And also in the big challenge will be in the restructuring of the public utilities, and there are plans to reduce redundant employees, and this will be, I think, the big challenge in the months to come, how to proceed with these plans.
Dakle, vlada je napravila planove da se ubrza dinamika privatizacije i mi te planove veoma snažno podržavamo i nadamo se da će oni biti i ostvareni. Veliki izazov za ovu godinu je i prestrukturiranje javnih preduzeća. Također su napravljeni planovi za smanjenje viška radnika. Dakle, i to je jedan od velikih izazova za ovu godinu, ali se nadamo da će to biti ostvareno.
Perhaps let me expand a little bit on the issue of wage bill controls. I think wage bill controls are in many ways clearly a second best solution. The best solution is restructuring, spinning off and privatizing parts of these enterprises rather than controlling the wage bill. The second theme here is that wage bill control does not mean that you cannot have large increases in wages of individual employees. If these individual employees carry a lot of responsibility and make big decisions, I think it would be a wrong policy trying to not to reward them appropriately. I think the key is to identify those people who don't add value to companies and who get remuneration nevertheless.
Dakle, što se tiče, ja bih se vratio na ovo vaše pitanje o politici plata i o kontroli plata i nešto bih još dodao na tu temu. Radi se zapravo o kontroli ukupnog fonda za plate ili za zarade. Smatramo da je to drugo najbolje rešenje. Najbolje rešenje bi bilo prestrukturiranje, odvajanje pomoćnih delatnosti od osnovne delatnosti i privatizacija, a ne kontrola plata. Međutim, to čekamo, onda kontrola plata je jedno dobro rešenje. Druga tema u okviru ovog pitanja bila bi da činjenica da ova kontrola fonda za plate ne znači da plate pojedinačnih zaposlenih ne mogu da se povećaju, naročito ako ti pojedinci nose veliku odgovornost, ako donose značajne odluke. Mislimo da bi to bila pogrešna politika da se oni ne nagrade, a s druge strane treba identifikovati one zaposlene u preduzeću koji ne doprinose radu preduzeća, ne dodaju vrednost, a dobijaju nagradu za to.
And maybe I can add also that one area where there has been a lot of success and much activity is the financial sector. I think the government has announced the sale of the Ubanka at a very good price, and the privatizations of many other remaining state bank is progressing at a very good pace this year.
Ja bih samo želela da dodam da postoji jedna oblast da je ostvaren veliki uspeh i da je bilo jako mnogo aktivnosti, to je finansijski sektor. U tom sektoru vlada je prodala Ubanku po veoma dobroj ceni, a priprema se i privatizacija mnogih drugih državnih banaka u ovoj godini.
Izvolite dalje, da li ima još pitanja?
Will there be new reviews within this extended arrangement, or are there any thoughts about a new arrangement?
Well, there are some, I think there are two reviews left of the arrangement, but on the new arrangement you'd have to ask the government what their wishes are.
U okviru postojećeg aranžmana ostale su još dve revizije da se izvrše, a što se tiče novog aranžmana, to ćete morati da pitate vladu.
Izvolite.
We are ready to serve Serbia to the extent that they want our collaboration.
Mi smo spremni da služimo Srbiji, da pomognemo Srbiji u onoj meri u kojoj je naša saradnja željena.
Da li ima još pitanja? Kolega? Kolega, izvolite.
Just one more question. There was discussion about 4,500 layoffs in the public sector in Montenegro. Were there any discussions? Were there any revisions of this number? And were the sectors identified in the Montenegrin administration, public sector, where these cuts should be made?
Yes, we discussed this issue as well. There were parts of this 4,000, we were talking about 4,200 under the program. Of these 4,200, about 600 layoffs have occurred last year in 2004, and the government is now forming a committee to review by individual line ministries the employment situation and see how these additional layoffs until the end of 2005 could be made.
Da, i o tome je bilo razgovora. Cifra o kojoj je bilo reči je 4200 viška radnika koji bi trebalo da dobiju otkaze po programu. Prošle godine je broj zaposlenih smanjen za 600. Vlada je osnovala jednu komisiju koja će razmatrati broj zaposlenih i situaciju sa zaposlenošću u pojedinačnim ministarstvima da bi se videlo kako bi se ovaj dodatni broj predviđenog smanjenja broja zaposlenih u 2005. ostvario.
But let me also add here that we also discussed with the government their budget and especially the social expenditure component in there, which contains labor programs and micro lending to small and medium enterprises to cushion the blow of structural reforms and layoffs.
Ali dozvolite mi da dodam da smo sa vladom razgovarali i o socijalnim rashodima u ovogodišnjem budžetu, o socijalnim programima, o programima mikrokredita za osnivanje malih i srednjih preduzeća da bi se ublažio udar ovih reformi.
Kolega, poslednje pitanje.
Disbursement of new tranche, the completion of this review. But there will be more discussions with the government before that.
Well, we will still continue discussions on a few pending issues.
Mi ćemo nastaviti razgovore o nekoliko otvorenih pitanja koja su preostala.
Konferencija je završena. Hvala lepo.